Last week, we spoke about how Shmuel told Chol to go and kill out the nation of Amalek, and Chol did not listen to Shmuel completely. He left the cattle and the king of Amalek, and therefore he was punished by his kingship being ripped out from his hands and being given over to someone else. This week, we're going to see who Hashem chose instead of Chol, and how exactly we did it.
It says, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right. Well, we spoke about
Hashem does something. He knows. What do you mean? He repented that he did that. He made a mistake.
He didn't make a mistake. We spoke about it briefly last week, and we mentioned that the last time the first time in Chumash it speaks about Kinnicha Malakim is by Dor HaMabul, when Hashem killed out the people in the days of Noach by bringing the flood. It also says over there Kinnicha Malakim, so to speak, Hashem repented, right? So the Mefarshim explains what it really means. It's not like, oh, I regret all, oh, like I made a mistake, I really shouldn't have done that. It means from now on, I want to change, I want a new world, so to speak. I want to bring the flood and start from fresh. And same thing with Shaul, he wants to get rid of the old and start a new slate. That's what the Mefarshim explains, what the word Nicham means. So Pasuk Aleph opens up, Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, Ad Masa Yotam Yisab el Shaul, V'nei Ma'asti V'mloich al Yisrael. Until when are you going to mourn over Shaul? I have already, I'm getting rid of him, I'm not interested in him being king anymore. The Rambam explains, why is it that Shaul was Misabel, Shmuel was mourning over Shaul, and why is Hashem telling him to stop mourning? So he explains, there are two reasons for a person to mourn over something that is being thrown away, or being given away. Reason number one is because of the importance of that person or object or position. And Hashem is now telling him, for that reason that you're thinking that Shaul is so important, it's not true. And I'm astiv mimloich al Yisrael. I am not interested in him anymore to be the king, and therefore there is no importance to him. And the second reason that a person would mourn is because there is no replacement for that person or that thing. And now, for that reason, Hashem is addressing that reason and saying, I'm now sending you to the new king, that will now be the king over the Jewish people. Go to Beis Lechem, where Yishai lives. One of his sons will be the king for me over the Jewish people. It says over here, Kiresi Bevanav Li Melech. Now Hashem is saying, until now, I was, so to speak, forced to bring a king over the Jewish people, because the Jewish people demanded it. They asked for a king. So in a way, it was for the Jewish people. I had to satisfy them. From now on, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be completely different. From now on, the king over the Jewish people is going to be for me, and for me only. And that's why, as we're going to see later on, the physical body of the king does not have to be impressive. Until now, Shaul had to be a tall, good-looking man. And we're going to see later on, at least according to one pshat, the king does not need to be tall, does not need to be good-looking, does not need to be charismatic, because it's not for the people. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Hashem Himself. For Hashem Himself, Hashem doesn't care about the external looks of a man. He cares about the internals and his midos, the way he perfected himself.
Hashem wants king for himself?
Yeah, meaning Hashem wants a king that will follow his rules,
I understand everything completely opposite. Hashem is king for everyone, not king for Hashem.
Right, meaning he would be, so to speak, the messenger, another representative of Hashem, and will be fulfilling the will of Hashem.
But still he is king for the Jewish people?
Yes, yes.
But for him, it means
meaning only for for to satisfy Hashem's need and not to satisfy the people. Not because the people demanded it, rather because Hashem himself wants this to come about.
What was different before?
Before it was also for the Jewish people. They wanted the king. They were the ones who initially asked for it. Hashem is not the initiative of Hashem.
The new king is kind of another mission compared with Shmuel. What is it for him? It's something else. It's not the same as was before. It means first time he makes he believes he did something is not correct. Now I want to make.
I mean, it's not that it's not correct, but
unjust.
Right. I mean, it's a different form.
Approach how to make what kind of king should be.
Right. It's a different form of kingship. Yes. So Bosek Beis continues. Vayomer Shmuel, Eich Elech V'Shalom Shmuel V'Aragani. How can I go ahead and appoint a new king? If Shmuel finds out, he will kill me immediately. Now, a few things. First of all, what is Shmuel so worried about? Why is he worried that Shaul will go in and kill him? Obviously, Hashem can take care of that. If Hashem told him to appoint a new king, he's worried that, Shmuel will find out and kill him before he fulfills the shlichus. Another question is shlichu mitzvah in mizaikim. If you go ahead and you have a shlichus, you're a messenger to fulfill a mitzvah, you will not get hurt. For the second question, the Gemara says that shchiyah chazek hashayni. If the risk is so high, even if you're a messenger of a mitzvah, there's still a risk you might get hurt. And the reason why Shmuel is so worried is because of the following point. Even though a person is obligated to have trust in Hashem, to know that Hashem is controlling the events, and there's nothing that happens without Hashem's permission, on the other hand, he still has to go ahead and do his best to make sure that he is being safe, and he's being cautious and responsible for his actions. You can't say, Hashem decreed how long I'm going to live, so I can go ahead and play in traffic. It doesn't work like that. You have to do your best in order to stay alive. And Hashem will, in turn, make sure that you will stay alive if that's what he decided. But if you go ahead and perform something extremely risky, you could not be samech on the nest. You could not rely on a nest to come and save you. You have to be responsible. But at the same time, know that Hashem is controlling the events. That's why Shmuel is asking, I'm asking for advice. How should I go ahead and be responsible about this, not risk my life if Shmuel finds out? And at the same time, filling your shlichus, knowing that you are controlling the events. And as we're going to see in the next pasuk, in this pasuk, Hashem presents Shmuel with a strategy. I have a very simple strategy for you. Why don't you go ahead and take an eglas bakar, take a young calf, go to this town, Beis Lechem, tell them that you're coming for, and they might think that you're going to come for egla rufa, the mitzvah, the performed mitzvah of egla rufa. The mitzvah is when a dead body is found near a city, the elders of that city have to go ahead and measure the distance from the dead body to the nearest city. They go and they bring a korban, a sacrifice of a young calf, and they have to say the words, our hands did not pour this blood. That is the mitzvah, in short, of Egla Rufa. And Hashem is telling Shmuel, I want you to go ahead and bring an Egla. Everyone will see, Shmuel included, will think that you are coming to perform this mitzvah of Egla Rufa, and will not kill you.
Did someone die?
No, nobody died. But this way, Shaul will think that Shmuel is coming to perform this mitzvah. Now, why did Shmuel need the strategy? Couldn't he think of it himself? He was obviously smart enough. He was a smart man. He did not need Hashem to come up with this very sophisticated strategy. He could have thought of it himself. However, what he was asking is, he wanted Hashem to command him to do this because he did not want to lie and say, Hashem told me to do this, even though Hashem didn't. He was asking for Hashem what to do, because that way Hashem will tell him to do this, and when he will actually utter the words, Hashem told me to do this, he would not be speaking a lie. Once you come to the city, you will call in Yishai and his family, and I will tell you then exactly who is going to be the king. I'll tell you what to do. I will give you further instructions. Why didn't Hashem tell him right away? Again, for the same reason. Because if when he comes to their city, he tells them, oh, Hashem told me to come bring this egla and bring a carbon. And they'll say, oh, wait, is there any other reason that you're coming? If he says no, he's going to be lying, because he's coming to appoint the king. Therefore, Hashem is telling him right now, I'm going to tell you then, once you get to the city, then I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. That way, you can safely say, no, that's the only reason I'm coming to the city, to bring this carbon of the egla. There's no other reason. Because that's the truth. Hashem tell him, I'm going to tell you later on what to do. We see over here a very, very important point. Hashem is making sure, Hashem and Shmuel are both making sure that every single step of the way, there is not one word of lie uttered out of Shmuel's mouth. That's obviously extremely important to both of them. We see the importance of saying the truth. Obviously, you can say, oh, well, this is all, you know, to make sure that the Red King will be appointed. We want to hide it from Shaul. We want to conceal it. So maybe we can say a white lie, kind of like slip it through. No. There's no such thing. We have to make sure that every word that Shmuel utters is 100% the truth. Pasuk Dalet continues, Vayas Shmuel Eskol Shedibar Hashem. Shmuel completed the instructions of Hashem. Vayavah Beislechem. He came to Beislechem. Vayachadu Ziknei Lekrosai Vayim Rasholim Ba'echo. The elders of the city are scared. They rush towards him. And they greet him. Why are only the elders concerned for the coming of Shmuel? Because they all thought that Shmuel is now coming to perform the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. And who is responsible to perform the mitzvah of Egla Rufa? Like as we mentioned before, the elders of the city are supposed to measure the distance from the body to the closest, to the nearest city. They're the ones responsible, and therefore they now think that Shmuel is coming to perform that mitzvah, and they're saying, oh no, we were the ones who were supposed to do this. Why is Shmuel doing it? Obviously, we messed up. And as we're going to see, Shmuel is telling them, don't worry, you have nothing to worry about. I'm only coming to bring this carbon. He's greeting them back. He's saying, I came to bring a carbon for Hashem. He is now asking everybody to come and join him, including Yishai and his sons. He's now seeing the family of Yishai for the first time. He sees the oldest son, Eliyav, and he says, "Ach neged Hashem Mishichai." So there are two pshatim. There's the pshat of their old bag that he thinks right now that this is the Mashiach Hashem, the one who's supposed to be the next king, because he is the oldest. And according to the Rabag and the Radak, he was a very impressive, good-looking. And Shmuel is now thinking, just like Shaul had to be impressive, tall, good-looking, so to the next king also has to be tall and good-looking. When he sees Eliyahu, the oldest son, he thinks this is the guy. According to the Malbim, however, Shmuel is thinking, this is not the right person. He's not supposed to be king. Because if he was supposed to be king, Hashem would have told him right there and then, this is the king, as we're going to see later on what he did with David. And since Hashem did not tell him on the spot, this is going to be the king, therefore must not be the king. So two different pshatim, two opposite pshatim. Pasuk Zayin, Ve'emar Hashem el Shmuel, Atam batal mareu, ve'el gvak v'masla ki mastiu, ki lo yira adam, ki adam yira le'inayim, Hashem yira le'levav. So according to the pshat of the Radak and the Ralbak, that he was a very tall, impressive, good-looking, Hashem is telling Shmuel, you have nothing to worry about. This is not the right person. Even though he's tall, impressive, and good-looking, I am not interested in that. I am interested in a person who perfected himself and did the right thing, who shaped, molded, and worked on himself. I'm not interested in an impressive person physically. The next king will be different than Shaul. Just because Shaul was tall and good-looking doesn't mean the next king also has to be tall and good-looking. That's according to the Ralbag and the Radak that he actually thought Eliyahu would be the king. According to the Malbim, where Shmuel thought that Eliab was not going to be king, what is Hashem telling him? Hashem is telling him, Hashem is referring to Shaul, meaning you want this person to, you don't think that this person will be the king? And you want a tall, good-looking person to be the king. I mean, you're looking at this person, he's not impressive, not tall and good-looking. You're hoping that the next king will be tall and impressive. I'm telling you, it's not true. Shaul was tall and good-looking, but I don't care about the way the person appears physically. Just because Shaul was tall and good-looking, I don't need the next king to be tall and good-looking, right? That's not what I'm looking for. So don't think that just because this person, Eliab, was not tall and good-looking, that the king really has to be tall and good-looking. I don't care about Shaul. Just because Shaul was tall and good-looking, I don't need the next king to be tall and good-looking. Pasuk Ches, Vikrashi Yishai Elavinodov, Vayavireh Lifnei Shmuel, Vayomer Gam Bazeh Lavei Ochar Hashem. Now Yishai is passing over the next son. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention, according to the Ralbag and the Radak, the reason why Eliab was not supposed to be king is because even though he was a good person, he did work on his midas. However, there was one midah that was problematic, and that was he was a kaisan. He tended to be angry. He had some level of a temper, even though he didn't lash out and start screaming and yelling and breaking things. But he, on a very, very subtle level, he had a tendency to becoming angry and mad. As we saw later on, as we're going to see later on, he got upset at David for coming joining the war. And that's why Hashem did not want him to be king. Now Yishai is passing over the next son, Abinadab, and Shmuel is saying, no, this is not the one either.
Is he a redhead?
We'll get to that. Vayaver Yishai Shama, Vayomer Gam Bazeh Lavei Ochar Hashem. He brought Shama, the third son. Hashem says, nope, this is not the one. Vayaver Yishai Shivas Banav Lifnei Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai Elohi Vachar Hashem Be'ele. He passes all seven sons, and he's Shmuel tells Yishai, Hashem does not want any of them. According to the Matzudas David, there was actually an eighth son, Elio, and the reason why he's not mentioned is because he speaks about the whole family dynamics. I'm not going to get into all the details, but he was only a half-brother, therefore he was not mentioned over here. Are these the only kids you have left? Now it's very interesting. Yishai is telling Shmuel, there's one more son he's left over. He did not bring him yet. And now it's very interesting the wording that he says ki oid shar katan, meaning if he was saying there's one more left, he should have said oid nishar, there's one more left. But he says no. He says oid shar katan, meaning this son left out himself. He did not come himself. I did not leave him out. He left out himself because he was a shepherd. He was busy taking care of the sheep. That's why he did not come.
The brothers didn't like. He
did not like him because he was a very, very questionable
birth.
Yes, he was
lineage.
Right, he had a very questionable lineage. Basically, what happened was, in short, Yishai divorced his wife. He married somebody else, and while he married somebody else, his ex-wife got pregnant, and everyone thought that she was Mazana. She engaged in adultery, and therefore, when David was born, everyone thought he was some level of a mamzer, and he was kind of like this dark secret of the family. No one really wanted him part of the family. That's why they sent him out to the mountains to become the shepherd. They wouldn't want him to be part of the family because he was kind of like this secret, hidden secret that nobody would find out about. So Shmuel is now saying, "Please bring him over. I want him to come join us. We're not going to sit down and eat until he joins us." They're not bringing him. He's a redhead. He has red hair, good-looking eyes, good-looking face. And right now, the second Shmuel sees him, Hashem is telling Shmuel, this is the man I want you to go ahead and appoint him to be king. Now, Shmuel was worried about him because he saw that apparently people who are red have a very have a tendency to for murdering, for killing, and Shmuel was worried, this guy is a murderer. How could I go out and appoint him to be king? And Hashem says, don't worry, he murders, but he only murders with the reshus of the Sanhedrin, with the permission of the Jewish court of law. You have nothing to worry about. He's actually going to go ahead and fight the wars of Jewish people, defeat all the enemies, and that's why he needs to have this kind of nature. Veikach Shmuel Eskeran Hashem and Veim Shechol Yisrael Bekerav Echav Vatitlach Hurach Hashem Al David Mayoyim Ahuv Amala Veikach Shmuel Veyelach Haramasa. Shmuel is now taking the pitcher of oil, pouring over David, appointing him to be king. And the spirit, the wind of Hashem, is now possessing David. Everything he does from then on is with the spirit, with the wind of Hashem. Shmuel now goes home. The second David was appointed to be king, and the wind, the spirit of Hashem, is with David. At the same time, the spirit of Hashem left Shaul. And not only did it leave Shaul, but a negative force, a negative spiritual force, now began to possess Shaul. And Shaul became very worried, depressed, very disturbed human being. Because what happens is, when a person has the privilege to have the Ruach Hashem within him, his body is, so to speak, a vessel to the spirit of Hashem, and he becomes elevated, he becomes pure and holy, and once that Holy Spirit leaves him, the Ruach of Tumah right away swoops in and possesses that same physical being that once possessed the Ruach of Hashem, once was a vessel to Ruach Hashem.
No one knows that he just anointed
right.
him, but he didn't tell him he's going
right.
to be
it
king.
It was not famous. Exactly, actually, Mechlekes, if it was done in private, right. or it was done, it says, Ve'im Shecho Yisrael Bekerav Echov. So, the Mefarshim learned this two pshatim. One pshat is that he actually appointed him with the presence of his brothers, because you need 10 people, the 7 sons of Yishai himself, Shmuel, and David, that's 10 people. According to another pshat, he actually appointed him in private, and what it means, Bekerav Echav, it means out of all of his brothers, he was the one to be chosen. But actually, it was done in private.
Right now, he's not king.
Well, he's not king yet. We're going
to
see. Right, he's not king
he's
yet, but he has Ruach Hashem.
Shaul
is
still king now.
Shaul is still king. But the Ruach Hashem left Shaul and is now with David. Pasuk Tesvav. Ve'yomru Avdi Shaul Elav. Hinei no Ruach Elokim ra mevasecha. They now realize there's something wrong with Shmuel. The servants of Shmuel realize there's something wrong. He's constantly depressed. He's disturbed. That's why they're telling him, we have to do something about this. They have good advice for him. Why don't we go ahead and hire a musician, someone who knows how to play the violin, and he will be the one to calm you down anytime you're worried or upset. And that way, the Ruach Elokim Ra will leave you. The bad spirit that is possessing you will leave you anytime you hear music. Music is a very powerful tool. It has the ability of being master people in b'tshuva. It can affect people's emotions, their state of being, state of mind. And that is the advice his servants are giving him. V'yamar Shmuel l'avodav, ru'u na li ish meitiv l'nagan v'avirsem elai. Please bring something that is fit, someone that is fit for me, meaning I don't want just a skilled musician. I want a person who is befitting to serve the king, meaning someone who is good looking, someone who has manners. Because anyone who serves the king has to be that kind of person, a person of with manners and a good looking person. So I want someone that would be fitting to serve the king, not just a skilled musician. Now, one of the servants tells Shmuel, don't worry, I have exactly the right person for you. I know there's one of the sons of Yishai, he is a very skilled musician, he knows how to play very nicely. And the Pasuk is now counting five compliments, five character traits that David had, five positive character traits, to show why he should be the one to serve the king. So the Malbim explains, what are these five positive points about David?
Attributes.
Five positive attributes. They are all attributes that a musician does not normally have. First of all, he says he's a Gibor Chayil. He is a warrior. Sorry, not a warrior. A man of valor. And a musician is not usually a man of valor. They're very absent-minded. An Ish Milchama, a warrior, is someone who is very with it. Someone who has to know strategics and how to fight the war. A musician is usually very mind scattered.
He's into his music.
He's into his music. He's spiritual. He's not necessarily.
It's like a drug.
Right. He's not very grounded.
He doesn't think straight.
Right. He's not usually a warrior. Novan Dover, he knows really to understand people. Again, that's not necessarily what a musician is like. Ishtoyar, a good looking person. And according to the Malbim, at least, musicians are not good looking. Hashem Imoy, Hashem is with him. Now, according to Chazal, according to another pshat in Chazal, these are all five attributes, five compliments, that five positive points that the servant is pointing out, and they're all regarding Torah. Gibor Chayil is Yodea Lishol; he knows how to ask the right kasha. In learning Torah, Ish Milchama, he knows how to answer. Ish Milchama is Milchama Shel Torah. Every character trait is something that a person has to do with learning Torah. And finally, Vashem Imoy, any place where he says Alacha, Alacha Kamaisa B'chol Mokom. Any time where he's passing his Alacha, Alacha is like him. And these are all points that Shaul would have been jealous. But every point they told him that David has, he's so good in learning, Shaul was not worried. He was not jealous of David because he says, Yonasan, my son, is exactly like that. I have nothing to be jealous of. Up until where they said that Hashem Imoy, the Allah is like him. And at that point he said, listen, if Allah is like him, then that's not the way my son is. And that actually is something that I might be jealous of. And we're going to see later on that it really disturbed Shaul that David was there.
Well, Yishai is a big man.
Yes, he was a very, very important man.
He's one of the leaders of the Jews.
Right. Pasuk Yutes, Veishlach Shaul Malachim al Yishai, Ve'emar Shilcha Elayis David Bincha Asher Batzayin. Shaul is now asking Yishai, why don't you please send over to me David HaMelech? I want him to serve me. He's sending a present to Shaul, because anytime you send something to the king, you have to send some kind of present, a gift. The second David comes over to Shaul, he finds favor in Shaul's eyes, and he is now his personal servant. He's now asking Yishai for David to be permanently live with Shaul. I want him to serve me. I want him to be with me. He found favor in my eyes. Anytime this bad spirit would possess Shaul and disturb him, he would call for David. David would come and play music, and that would calm Shmuel down. And again, Malbim explains, this is all Hashem orchestrating the events for David to eventually become king. David to get close to Shaul. This will bring about the next events that are going to unfold, as we're going to see in the next few paragraphs. And this will eventually lead to Shaul's death and will bring David to be the king. We'll stop here.